You're now listening to The Brian Callen Show, considered the hottest podcast in the universe. Now get ready for the heat. Here's Brian Callen.
Well, today's podcast is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is domain management made simple. It is the easiest and quickest way to buy a domain name. Hover is honest. It never tries to upsell you at checkout. Everything the other guys extra charge for is included in the cost of your domain, like who is privacy and domain forwarding. And plus, Hover has the best customer support in the industry. They have a no-hold phone policy. That means if you run into a problem, you call Hover and a real live human being answers the phone, ladies and gentlemen. I actually get excited. It's just so rare, right? So basically, it takes the hassle out of getting a domain. That is what they are selling. You just type in a few keywords you want in the search box and it'll tell you what's available. And the cool thing is they specialize in .net. So a lot of times you want something in .com or .org. It's not available. Try .net. That is their specialty. And Hover has valet transfers. What does that mean? Well, if you've got a domain somewhere else, they'll take care of the whole process of moving the domain to Hover for you. So they specialize in .NET and they now offer Google Apps. You can get Gmail, Calendar, Drive, Docs, the whole package. You got 25 gigabytes of storage. And, you know, Google's a huge company, let's be honest. Hard to get a hold of a real person, I'm sure. But Hover has a human being that specializes in Google Apps. So, if you got a business, you got a family, you got a group, you want the ability to share all kinds of stuff with, try Hover.com. See how it works. They'll give you a 30-day free trial with the Google Apps as well. So, you know, see what you think. And the best part, guess what? If you go to Hover.com/Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, well, that's a promo code that gets you 10% off a new domain name. Oh, man, the power I have to get you 10% off. I'm going to need you to talk into the mic when you speak on my podcast. It was off record. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm here now.
You're here now. This is
how does this start? Do you have a theme song or anything like that?
I don't. Do you have a theme song for your podcast?
Yeah, we do. I have three podcasts, and I have one for each one.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know you're a musician.
What?
Is that where you place the emphasis?
No. Musician.
You're a musician. Musician. I studied in Europe, so musician. Mm. Now, you did you write your own songs?
I didn't. I had some people that were big fans of mine put a song together, and then we put it out.
Who are those people?
It doesn't really. Not a big band, but.
Oh.
Yeah.
Journey is getting together to do my
theme
song. Yeah.
So I think that there may be a lie there because, first of all, I know this for a fact. Steve Perry's no longer part of Journey. Hmm. So you're getting the kind of like the karaoke version.
No, I'm not. No.
How did they discover their lead singer? Look it up.
The Philippines, but I don't want to have an argument.
He was on.
Yeah, well, they're giving him a break, and Steve Perry's getting together with Journey, and they're writing my theme song.
That's not true.
It's the Brian Callen song. So that's what I asked for, and they're going to do a variation on that theme.
Okay, I'm going to just tell you the truth. I don't believe a word you say, but I'm going to have to at least go along with it because there's no way I can prove that you're lying. But I'm sure you are.
You know,
how do you start the show then?
I just start.
Just like this?
We've already started.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right.
Now.
You haven't even introduced me. Really?
No, well, hold on. Now, this is Don Barris.
Thank you.
And the great Don Barris, who I've been trying to get on my podcast a long time. Very hard guy to get in touch with. He's
not really. That's a lie, too.
Okay.
Because I've tried to get in touch with you a couple times about
what number were you calling?
The one that you gave to me, the one that worked today.
That might have been my work number that I'm not checking all the time.
Mm.
I have a helicopter phone, too, so I spend so much time in my chopper.
A helicopter phone.
I know. That's when you know you're making crazy money. Do you like my mansion or?
I think it's wonderful. When I got on the grounds, my first thought was this guy's got everything.
Yeah.
He's an actor. He's a good looking, strong guy.
Yeah.
Built really well.
Uh-huh.
One of the fucking pretty boys. One of the people that get every break in the world.
Whoa.
And guys like me have to work our ass and kind of kiss your ass just to get a little publicity.
You have fire in your eyes right now.
I may have fire in my eyes.
Is that an infection or are you just high as shit right now,
Could
Don?
Be an infection.
Damn it. You smoked a lot of weed today.
Could be an infection.
Look, man, I feel like you resent me or something for being
No.
As shredded and as
No. Not at all. I'll be honest with you. I think that you're one of the good guys. It's just that you've had everything given to you.
God damn it, Donna. You don't know that. You can't just say that.
Are you good looking? One of the better looking guys in the world.
Well, I got
today.
A strong jaw and very expressive eyes and a full mouth. I mean, sure, if that's what you call good looking with high cheekbones, I guess. And,
a lot of people
and complete symmetry.
Yeah. And then I saw your gym. You gave me a tour of the grounds here. I saw the gym, which was amazing.
Yeah.
You showed me how to do a couple things. You had a lot of weights on there. I didn't see you lift anything. I didn't know if that was like for show or what.
No. Look, man, I lift those weights.
Yeah, okay.
It's not for show. I'm not putting weights on to have guests come by.
Okay, so let's get to the reason why I'm here. I'm here to promote. You've been given everything in the world.
Yeah.
I've been given nothing.
Okay, well, fine. So what do you want to promote on the Brian Callen Show? We have literally 5 million listeners. I mean, this was rated the number one podcast of all time by the International Podcasting Association.
You were saying that earlier.
Right, but I just wanted to
reiterate.
What are
you doing? I noticed when you're talking on the phone, am I supposed to pay attention?
Well, I wanted to get some dates for myself here, and then I want to talk about, because I know where I'm going to be November 29th and 30th.
Really? Wait a second.
Of
so
November.
On November 29th and 30th.
Well, the point is I can't do anything. I can't play tennis or do anything with you guys then because I'm going to be at Wise Guys in Utah. Doing stand-up comedy.
So I came to promote, and it seems like you're promoting these.
No, guys. I wanted.
Where are you going to be at? What's the name of the place?
It's called Wise Guys, but I'll also be December 12th, 13th, and 14th. I'll be in Helium in Philadelphia. I don't know. Is that what you wanted to talk about?
Not really.
Okay, well, just make sure that you're not around then. What about December 19th, 20th, and 21st? Because I'll be in Tempe, Arizona then.
What are you going to be doing there?
Stand-up. Yeah. Have you seen my...
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Very funny. I give you credit. You must have a lot of writers, but that's
I don't have a lot of writers.
People,
I do...
You're given stuff. You can go ahead and like have people write for you.
I do my own writing, bro.
What's the last routine that you wrote?
I've written all my stuff.
Give me one thing that you've written.
I'm now working on a whole thing on my dad. I've written all of that myself. Don't have a staff.
Sounds funny so far. Let me
you
see.
You know, you're being very unfair by putting
me on
the spot.
I'm not being very unfair. I just told you I came to your mansion because I need help promoting some stuff of mine. And so far, all we've done is promoted your upcoming date at the Giggle House at the end of...
It's not the Giggle November. House. I'm at Helium. I'm at the Tempe Improv. And I'm at the freaking Wise Guys in Utah. What can I promote for you?
Okay. And... just out of curiosity, and we'll talk about this, but I'm sure this everything is screwed up.
Yeah.
When will this
show air? Can't see your
eyes,
by the way. What?
When will this show air? I have an infection in my eyes.
Okay.
When will this show air?
You know, this show may very well air within the week.
Well, that's what I need, and I'll tell you why. Mm. Because we have a Fund Anything account that ends, I believe, a week from this Monday.
A Fund Anything account?
Fund Anything, yeah.
Fund Anything account.
Yeah. You know what that is?
No.
Well, let's say the smaller entertainers that don't have mass amount of fans like yourself that will give you money and let you do anything you want, and you come up with an idea and some sap of shit, no matter how bad the idea is, hey, let's run with it. Hey, okay, BC, we'll take that. Yeah, all that bullshit. I have to work for a living. And what we have to do, I'm trying to create a Big Three reality show.
A Big Three reality
show.
Now,
you don't know anything about it. You know nothing about me. I did a movie
called
Windy City.
Yeah, we have to talk about this because, in fact, in all seriousness, we've
been
silly geese.
I've been serious the entire time I've been here.
You have, your legs are very white. Now, here's the thing.
What was it do with your daughter come out completely nude?
Well, she was out of a, she took a shower, for Christ's sake, and I apologize for that.
Does she do that to all guests?
She does. It's an important thing.
Continue
She's 23 and she's feeling her oats out. Now, listen, here's the thing. You were very instrumental in creating a show called Windy City Heat.
It's a movie, not a show.
It's a movie called Windy City Heat. I actually saw it when it was being shot because Bobcat Goldthwait, who we were doing CSI together forever ago, said, you got to see this. I'm going to hell. I'm going to go to hell for doing this, but check it out. And he was showing me little clips, and it was so funny. And I didn't know you then.
No.
But you were very funny.
Thank you.
I mean, you're actually a very good actor. There, I said it.
Thank you.
Now, we need to talk about the phenomenon that is Windy City Heat. If you guys don't know about it, it is kind of groundbreaking. I mean, it's groundbreaking.
Well, let me tell you this, because I'm sure that...
Explain the concept.
With your schedule, you probably don't get to see the little people's little film projects and things like that. We did a film that Bobcat Goldthwait directed, Jimmy Kimmel produced, called Windy City Heat. And what this is, since 1992, I've been working with a guy that's out of his mind. His name's Scary Perry. And 10 years ago, we made a movie called Windy City Heat that Comedy Central buried. Well, we went behind their backs, put it in film festivals. We won a couple film festivals, Montreal Comedy Festival, Film of the Year, things like that. So it was pretty good.
Wow.
And it's a bizarre movie that it seems like everyone that I talk to loves, but there are so few people that know about it. It's so frustrating. I mean, people from Quentin Tarantino, Eminem wanted to meet us because he loved it so much.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those movies that it's got, I mean, not to sound, but the like Hollywood film people and people that do film for a living and actors and comedians, they all know about it. Like, literally, the people that actually make movies and are involved in movie making all love it. And it seems like America doesn't know anything about it. Why did Comedy Central bury it?
I really believe I have a thought that I won't tell you, and one of the things that I was told. I believe that when Comedy Central had a president that was behind it,
they were Herzog? Behind,
I can't even remember.
Okay.
During what would it have been 10 years ago?
Yeah, probably Doug Herzog. Great guy.
And then he lost his job.
Yes. Great guy, though.
Great guy.
And a visionary. I mean, I knew what he was doing.
Absolutely. And he was a huge fan of Kimmel, believed in it, took a chance on something. We filmed a pilot for it. They loved it. They said, make a movie. And at first, they were going to promote the hell out of it. Well, then new management at Comedy Central came in, and they buried it.
That's the most frustrating thing for anything. When it's funny because a lot of people don't realize that networks and things like that, when a new team of managers come in, it's almost like the way a lion comes into a new pride and kills all the baby cubs.
Right.
Because they're not his.
I didn't know that about
that
lions,
is what lions do. When a lion comes in and fights off a male and the male leaves, the first thing that lion will do will kill all the cubs that belong to the male lion that was there. And then it will not only kill, and then it'll impregnate all the females with its
seed. Is that
true? Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And it's pretty harsh, but that's a very common thing with lions.
Is that
lions.
Where you got that idea from?
That is what I do. That's what I like to do, is come into a home, and it's a terrible thing, but that's what they call me, the Lion of the West. So
that's where you got the name.
Because I live on the west side of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Now, having said all that,
so it kind of got buried at Comedy Central because of that big changeover. Well, thank goodness for Jimmy Kimmel, because he really had fun doing it. He had the time of his life, and he kept pushing it. Well, years and Jimmy's idea, he said that he wanted to go out there and make a series of these movies. Now, if you're not familiar, in this movie, this guy, Perry is his name, he believes he's in a movie. But it's really the behind-the-scenes stuff of a movie. Mm. And he wanted to do this over and over. This one was where he played a sports detective. The next one was going to be a cowboy.
Well, let me just reiterate. This guy actually is he's a pretty prickly character in real life. I mean, he's an
real
acerbic
asshole.
Guy. Yeah. Oh. He's not the sweetest guy. I mean, and you guys basically cast him in a movie to star in a movie. And he really believed he was going to be in this huge action film.
Right.
And you guys shot it, and we basically watched this guy. It's kind of like Joe Schmo.
As a matter of fact, it's interesting you should say that, but Joe Schmo, and I'm not saying anything against anybody, but it is funny that during the Days of the Man show, we brought Perry around the Man show, and the production team that was there seemed to love the idea. Well, then the next thing, Joe Schmo was produced by the same people that produced Wendy's, or the Man Show, excuse me, yeah. So they may have borrowed the idea from
very
somewhere
interesting.
Else. Yeah. But the thing is, the difference is, we've literally been with this guy since 1992, and the levels that we have in there, basically, it's like we have programmed this man's life.
And why in the world wouldn't you do a bunch of these? It's such a great idea.
Well, we were going to. And then what happened was this. This guy got some ambulance-chasing lawyer to start working with him. I could go into full detail.
Which guy?
Perry.
He got a lawyer.
A lawyer came to him and said he would help him out. Some girl over at the Comedy Store was going to sue me. The reason she was going to sue me, because I brought her into my Ding Dong Show, which might be the best show in the history of the Comedy Store, every Monday night, 10 p.m.
Is that with the Barris Kennedy Overdrive? Or?
We do a lot of things. See, you don't even know anything about me.
I just haven't been around.
The Ding Dong Show is the longest running show in the history of the Comedy Store.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
I apologize, Tom.
That's all right. Not a big deal.
If you are a tourist and you come to Los Angeles, if you don't come see the Barris Kennedy Overdrive, you don't see the
That's
Ding
the
Dong Show.
That's the band.
Well, the band, he's got a band. It's an air band. It's actually,
what?
You have an air.
I have a band that I sometimes perform over at the Comedy Store,
yeah,
the Barris Kennedy Overdrive.
I just mean that the instruments are not.
What?
The instruments are mine.
It's a band.
It's a band.
Okay. So it's a band that you can see every once in a while at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
I bring that around. But there was a girl that was part of the Ding Dong Show. I invited her into the Ding Dong Show. She went out of her mind. Let's just say then she tried to take me to court.
And what? For nudity?
No. She actually was going to charge me for sexual harassment and all these other things. That went on forever. Well, she eventually went to a jury. I mean, they threw it out of court immediately. But this woman got involved and then said to this Perry guy, if you help us out with this woman's trial and be a witness for us, I will help you sue the people that are making the next movie. Which
Jesus.
At the time was Johnny Knoxville, Spike Jonze, Jeff Tremaine. They were going to do the sequel to Windy City Heat. And for 2.5 years, they chased us down.
No.
Yeah.
Scumbags.
Yeah, and it just kills me. I saw Bad
So this
Rambo.
Bitch.
Oh.
Got.
And they still let her at the Comedy Store.
They do?
Oh.
This.
All she wanted to do in the trial, she wanted me to get her back in the Comedy Store because she drove Mitzi crazy. She wanted to get on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And she wanted me to pay for hospital bills because she said I did something to her. But I have a videotape of the entire show where it shows she's out of
her mind.
She's
a psychotic.
Yes.
She's a crazy person.
But I can't say her name, can I?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, she's just nuts.
She punched you.
She's nuts.
The thing about the Comedy Store is that there is a liability in that people are, you have some crazy people.
Absolutely.
That will float in and stay there for a long time and cause significant damage if you're not careful.
Well,
and the Comedy Store is such a special place and such a historical spot and all that, and has fostered so many great comics. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what a bummer. So is that mess over, and are you able to keep going?
The mess is over, but we do a podcast with the three stars of Windy City Heat, myself, this guy Perry, and Mole. Yeah.
But between you and I, he's
yeah.
an Emmy Award-winning
right.
writer.
Right. A very
Mole.
Talented guy. Yeah.
What did he win an Emmy for?
He's a writer on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
He's a writer on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yes.
Off the record, obviously.
Yeah. Just but a very funny guy. And
the mic shut out when you say off the record, so it's
okay,
fine.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Anyway, so, but a lot of people have, a guy that comes on and does our podcast all the time because he loves it, Dominic Monaghan. So we've had some really big people come in, and they're real fans of it. I remember Quentin Tarantino bringing Eli Roth around and just loved.
Well,
it.
That's what I mean. Is like that was such an ingenious. And if you haven't seen the movie, you're crazy. It's,
Windy
it's,
City
it's
Heat
greatness.
Is the name of it.
And it really is great, and it was so gutsy, and it really was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, it just was. And you played the director in it, didn't you?
No. Bobcat Goldthwait played the
No, you
director.
Played the producer, or what
no,
did you play?
No, I was in the movie part. I was the bad guy. Perry, the guy that this
yeah,
world
yeah,
centers
yeah.
around,
yeah,
is the hero
plays,
in
he
it.
Plays
he
the
plays
hero.
Stone
the
Fury.
Detective or?
The sports PI.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had to try to get refrigerator Perry's refrigerator back. A lot of big things were happening.
Stone Perry. I remember when you
Stone
had this
Fury.
An incredible Stone Fury. There's an incredible scene where he's going to do a sex scene.
Right.
And he actually thinks he's going to have sex with this beautiful girl.
Well, you should tell at first he had just argued because there was a scene where he kept getting thrown in a dumpster where there was shit in there. And so I told him, hey, in the future, tell him you want stunt doubles to do that. So in the next scene was a sex scene. All right, you can pick it up
then,
from
that's
there.
Right. And then, so he thinks he's actually going to have sex with this woman right. for real. And then
taking Spanish fly and everything.
Yeah, and he's literally actually believes it's going to happen. And then you get a stunt double to come in.
Right.
And he's like, wait a minute, what about this? Hey, hold on.
No, you demanded the stunt
double. It was genius. Yeah. It really was well thought out and well written, basically.
Well, we do this now, and we've been for the last like 3.5 years, we've been doing a podcast. Well, I've gotten to the point where there's so many people that wanted to be part of it. Like, oh, this is the greatest thing. Well, I'm sitting here spending my money creating a podcast every week for 3.5 years. I need someone else to come in. So we set a date, and we had, back in October, we had our 10th anniversary of the movie Windy City Heat. That night we had a main room show at the Comedy Store where the place was packed with fans of the movie and the podcast. Saturday, Jimmy Kimmel put on a Q&A where we showed the movie, and then Bobcat was there, and we did a Q&A. It was kind of cool because it was the first time that we had ever seen the movie with fans, and it was like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. They knew all the lines.
God.
It was just
unbelievable. You know, that's I have to say that I don't know why you guys haven't gotten a theater. There are a lot of theaters that can't get filled. You should get a theater. I'm telling you this now. I'm going to say this on the podcast. You should get a theater. You should have, and before the theater, you should have some stand-up.
Yeah.
Some just get a couple of headliners or whatever. Do 20 minutes of somebody who does 20 minutes and then show.
Yeah, like my stand-up probably wouldn't work very well just because I've been doing it 20-some years.
Okay, well, that's not.
That's what. Yeah, it's
I didn't
not
mean
big,
it that
you
way.
Know, well, I'm taking it that
Don,
way.
I mean, you're not going to.
Well,
you're going to want me up there for the first 2 or 3 years just so people really understand what, you know, what this.
So we
you
can
know,
draw a
yeah,
crowd.
You can't get up there.
Yeah,
I mean,
you've been force-fed to America. Oh, this is
what the hell is that supposed to mean, force-fed?
That's bullshit.
What do you
Let
mean?
Let me tell you this. You fit what society wants in a celebrity.
God damn it,
it's all
Don.
The good looks. It ain't about talent. Go fuck yourself.
Jesus Christ. You just got so... I was theoretically
right,
talking about opening for your
all right, let's,
fucking movie.
No, fuck you.
No, fuck you,
no,
man.
No, fuck you. You've been given everything in your damn life.
God, stop
I'm
saying that, man.
My ass
Look at my hands. Look at the calluses on my hands,
from
man.
What?
I get down
from
and
what?
Dirty.
Yeah, okay. You
from
get
kung
down
fu
and
from street fighting and from crawling
oh,
on my hands and knees
geez.
For
what
parts.
What other hobby? Oh, what other celebrity told you to do that?
Hey, man.
Bullshit. The only reason you're doing it, you're a copycat.
You're out of fucking line.
You're out of fucking
Take
line.
That back.
I'm not
right.
taking
You
any
lied to my daughter and said okay. you were a professional horseman. You lied to my daughter, for Christ's sake. She's 5.
She came out completely naked.
She's a kid. She was in the shower.
I felt
and
bad.
You were offended, for Christ's sake. And
she
then you
starts
had the,
talking about horses. I wanted to relate to her. I
you
didn't want
you
her to
lied
think.
To her and said you were in the Olympics and you were a jockey. And that's a ridiculous thing to say that you were a jockey,
okay,
for Christ's sake.
All right. First of all, I said I was a jockey first, and then I later moved on to the equestrian.
You lied to a child. That's how you came into my home.
Oh, you've never lied before?
I mean...
You've never lied before?
Nah.
Okay, let's get back to promoting what I needed to promote.
Sorry.
All right, so anyway, so what we've been doing is we've been trying to get this Fund Anything account going, and...
A Fund Anything account.
Fund Anything.
Fund Anything.
Fund.
I keep thinking you're in, it's a Fund Anything.
No,
and that's where that might be. You might want to put a D on the end of it.
F-U-N... Well... I guess maybe somebody you probably are friends with, Donald Trump, runs his company.
Jesus, how much money do you need? I have a lot of money.
Okay, we were trying to go for a half million.
Half a million is all
you
need?
What we're going to do is we're going to... Okay, hold on.
I can
hold
double
on.
It.
What we were trying to do is we were trying to build up money to make a reality show that would lead to the making of the sequel movie. That's what we were trying to do. Well, we are like a week and a half away, and of our $500,000 that we needed, guess where we're at?
I would say you might be at zero right now. Sorry.
What
I just hey,
who the what, you insult me?
No, man. You asked
is
me.
Is this no? You really think that we're at zero?
No,
I just told you we had 600 fans come from all across all the
right,
company.
I'm sorry
to come see a fucking movie, okay. And now you're saying oh zero
no,
money?
I don't know, Don. I just took a guess, man. It's a free country. You asked me to take a guess. All right, I'd say you're at 100 grand.
No, we're at 10,000.
Okay, that's.
We're only at 2% of what
yeah,
we were trying
not,
to get.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So
yeah,
what we've changed in the last few days since we kind of realized maybe we're not going to make that goal is we're going to make a pilot, but we still need money. And then I've got to kiss the ass of people like you to get on their podcast to promote it and try to get people.
I'll finance your
you have any idea how much bullshit it Jesus, is to come over and be nice to you.
Let me ask you a question. Shoot. Let me be very honest.
Go ahead.
Your girl is a knockout.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful woman.
She's a pro model.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. How the fuck do you get a girl like that? I'm sorry. Is there any way Mary Jane can take the mic and I can ask her a couple questions?
Yeah, you can ask her.
I mean, honestly.
I'd like to say www.thebig3podcast.com to see the podcast. And for Fund Anything, campaign name The Big Three. And if you'd like... Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Fund Anything, campaign The Big Three Project. And if you want to know the facts and press and publicity stuff about it, www.thebig3project.com. And for my birthday, November 24th, you have to put all your money in there before that. For my birthday present from the whole world, donate to The Big Three Project on funding.
And they're looking for $500,000.
Or more. You can triple
or
that.
Or more. But Mary Jane, what do you, can I ask? I wanted to ask her a question.
Okay.
She has an excellent voice for commercials. They're very breathy. Mary Jane, I mean, you're such a beautiful woman. What about Don Barris do you find attractive?
Like I was saying, please go to Fund Anything, campaign name The Big Three Project.
I guess she's not going to answer the question.
And also the podcast on iTunes, The Big Three Podcast.
Thank you, Mary Jane. It was nice having you
on
the show.
She's very, very diplomatic.
Okay.
She refused to answer that question.
Let's talk about my early years.
Oh.
What the fuck is your deal?
Hey, man, I'm just asking a question, brother.
What the hell are you doing? Seriously. You got everything in this world.
No.
You got to take what I have.
No,
you
man.
You fucking do this.
No, bro.
You go out with celebrities all the time.
Hey, okay. So you're trying to raise money. You've raised $10,000. I wish you good luck with that whole
Yeah, well, that's nice.
So I might write you a check before you leave.
Why don't you say something nice
Look,
to the people?
Tell
them that I am funny.
I'm being dead serious. If you are a tourist and you come to Los Angeles, if you don't go see Don Barris either on Mondays at the Ding Dong Show or you don't go at the Comedy Store, or if you don't go see him, he performs literally every night. And I'm going to tell you something that I heard, and I'm going to get him on the podcast, but there's one man who knows more about comedy in many ways than anybody on the planet. That is Tommy at the Comedy Store, in that he's seen so much comedy, been around so many people, been around Mitzi Shore. And Tommy said, hey, Bri, you, like Don Barris, are the kind of guy that if you don't perform every day, you die.
He would say that to
me. And I love that because he lumped you and I together. And I think we were the only ones that he knows after all these years. He said, you and Don are very similar because you guys are the kind of guys that must perform. And you don't miss a night. I've never seen you miss a night at the Comedy Store.
The last time I did, really, was when I went to New York. I do the audience warm-up for Jimmy Kimmel Live, so I do that earlier in the night, and then I come out and close the show at the Comedy Store. I think the last time I missed was when we went to New York with Jimmy Kimmel Live last year during the hurricane.
What is your... one of the things I love about being in this fraternity, stand-up comics, is that we're all a little unorthodox, probably, in many ways. Mm-hmm. What was your background? How did you grow up? And what were the seminal moments in your life, you think, that got you to become a stand-up comic?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Good follow-up to what we were talking about, too. You're an excellent interviewer. Mm-hmm. I think that there is an interesting thing. A guy that kind of represented me at one point, he talked about school, because I told him when I went to school, I could not. School drove me crazy because I would read the book 30 times to try to understand just one point. And for the first, because I always thought, like, man, am I retarded? What is my deal?
I felt the same way.
And he said, the way you think is outside the box. You can never be tied down by a school. Mm. It's not that you're crazy or anything like that. It's just that you think differently than most people. And that kind of motivated me. Made me realize that I wasn't crazy. I was an athlete in school.
What'd you play?
Football, basketball, baseball. It was pretty good. Our team went to the state championship. Hmm. It was all conference. Okay. So I kind of loved at school when I was in high school, we had pep assemblies every week because, like I said, our team went to the state championship, so we were good. So every week they needed some football player to talk during the pep assemblies.
Really?
And I just loved doing it.
Huh.
Yeah. Then I became, when I was in college, as a part-time job, I worked as a DJ. And it was great because I would DJ frat parties, I'd DJ, you know, weddings. And I found that if my jokes didn't work, that's when the music came up.
So, that's a great segue.
Yeah. I mean, it was easy. It was a great crutch. If these aren't working, then you got music to back you up. But I think I love comedy, and I just said, you know, I can't take school. I gave it a shot. The final straw, and I've talked about this before, but my grandfather was a pretty well-to-do guy. He was like the chairman of the board and president of a place called the Wix Corporation.
Hmm.
You ever heard of it?
No. Where'd you grow up?
Saginaw, Michigan.
Hmm.
Wix Corporation is a Fortune 500 company now based in San Diego, but was you might have heard of Wix Lumber.
Sure.
Yeah, so it was part of that Wix Furniture, but throughout the United States, at one point, it was a Fortune 500 company.
And he was the CEO.
Yeah, he was the guy. And so I'd always been told, you got to finish school. I couldn't do that. And
you couldn't finish college?
Couldn't finish college.
Yeah.
Couldn't finish college, and I just said, all right, here's what I'll do. I'll give it one last chance. I'm going to do everything I can. And at one point, when I kind of did this earlier in my college career, I literally was working or going to class on a 24-hour day schedule. I had two jobs, and I was
Jesus.
Going to, yeah, so I knew that
so you didn't really grow up with money?
No, we were taken care of.
You were taken care of?
My grandfather took care of my mother because
okay.
she was divorced. And
so that was his daughter?
It was his daughter.
Okay.
Right.
So you had money. You had some money.
I had money. Had everything we needed.
Right.
And one of the things when he passed away, he left me a bank. I owned the property of the bank. It was like in my,
wow.
my will he made. So I owned this property. I was collecting money from it. And they were paying me rent every month. So what I did is I said, okay, here's how I'm going to do this. I'm either going to run out to L.A. not knowing anybody and just go out there and try to make it, or I'm going to buy these vending machines, go to school full-time, and my job will be still working as a DJ, but I'll also have vending machines and go and collect money all the time. Now, what I did is I went to the bank that I own the property on, and I asked for a loan. And my collateral
was the property. Oh, my God.
So I thought, oh, this is a shoo-in. So I'll get this money. I'll buy these vending machines. But I believe my grandmother told them no. So they turned me down for a loan.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Do you still own the property that the bank owns?
No, actually, they sold it a few years later.
They did?
Yeah. And so I got some money anyway. But I moved out here.
Right.
And that's where it started. It was kind of like a crazy journey when I got into California. I lost all my money that I had that I saved to come out here. I left it in a camera bag, and I had just cashed all of my traveler's checks in Las Vegas.
So back in the days when we had traveler's checks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those days.
And that was, and I basically got to town with nothing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I just, but I said, I will never quit. I will never, ever, ever quit.
Well, I mean, you know, I always say that. My mother one time asked me what plan B was.
Yeah.
And I said, look, man, I can't do anything else. I first of all, I don't think about anything else. Yeah. Second of all, I tried to be a banker. And I'm telling you, I started hating myself. You know, part of being a comic and part of, you know, for what we do, I think, is just always feeling on the outside looking in anyway. Thank God. I'd like to be a civilian. I wish I was somebody who could have a 9-to-5.
It's a lot easier.
It's a lot easier, I think. I really do in a lot of ways. But because, you know, we are, you know, I've got to hustle for every, you know, I got to get butts in the seat.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you do that. Do you do that with podcasts? There are different ways, but it never ends, you know. Yeah. And I don't know. I guess that's kind of the bond I always share with guys like you and, you know, comics who have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
We all kind of know, you know.
Absolutely. And he's right. I mean, when Tommy said that about you and I, I truly believe it because I don't see any heart in a lot of these people.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize that that's what you did. What's your backup plan? I never had a backup plan. I said, I will die.
Yeah.
I mean, there was two times that for periods of over 6 months, I slept in my car. And I'll tell you this. I remember one thing more than anything. I felt so humiliated. I used to sleep in this cul-de-sac in my car. And my feet would stick out the window. And I remember there were gang members. Hey, yeah, let's say you got a cigarette. And things like that throughout the entire night. But every day, then my car at one point, I had had a gym membership where I could go to the gym and I would shower there.
Mm.
But every day I'd wake up, my car, the battery started going bad. And I didn't have enough money to go buy a new battery. So I'd have to have somebody jumpstart my car. I remember this and it just like killed me. I remember asking somebody to jump my car and there was a janitor that worked at this church. And he saw this happening, and he probably seen it a few times. And he goes, look at you every day. Why don't you get a job, you fucking bum?
Jesus.
But every night I'm at the comedy store. He was the janitor. He was a janitor. And every night I was at the comedy store, and I just remember thinking, what am I doing? What am I doing? And I swore to God, what I got from that moment on, I really believed was a message, because it was like, how many times have you walked past a homeless person, they ask you for money and you just blow them off?
Yeah. You don't know what their circumstances are.
Exactly. And I said from then on, I'm going to always look that person in the eye. Anybody who ever asked me for money.
And tell him to go fuck himself.
No, I don't go that far. Sorry, tried that, but that didn't work as well as on this. Sorry. No, I always give him something.
Yeah.
Because I think it's about dignity.
Well, you know, the other thing about that is that, you know, in some ways that janitor ironically lit a fire under your ass probably. And I don't know.
But yeah, but I mean, it just made me feel like shit.
Well, yeah. But the hard thing about being a comic sometimes is that work for us is actually sitting around daydreaming and looking around and trying to come up with stuff. Exactly. And I was at the coffee shop today and I was writing in my head and I was kind of, it probably looked like I was just staring and mumbling, but I was working out a bit.
Right.
And how do you say that to somebody who, you know, well, I'm going to work. Well, it's not work, but it is work. I mean, it's right. There's no other way to do it.
What are you doing? I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
Oh, you're watching TV and working. I actually am researching. If I think like if I become obsessed with something like John F. Kennedy, you know, right now there's so much that you can watch.
Yeah.
I'm sure that on the 22nd of this month, they're going to show one of the great specials I've ever seen. And what they will do, there's some show that they have that they break in at the exact moment that they broke in 50 years ago when Kennedy was assassinated.
That was 50 years ago, by the way.
Right. Crazy. But when you look at this thing, they started, like, I think it happened at like in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. They break in and then they show nonstop of exactly the way it happened.
Wow.
And I've seen that a couple times, and I want to record it this year if I can find it. But what's interesting, if you watch that, the way that they were handling this, and think about it, it's the President of the United States being assassinated. They were holding up a phone and putting the mic to a phone from someone reporting in Dallas.
God.
Walter Cronkite was doing that.
Isn't that amazing?
It's just, think about it now.
It's a different thing. We information comes at us in real time.
Oh.
It used to be when you did stand-up in New York, you had to change up your routine for people in L.A. It was just a very different, you know.
Is that where you came from?
New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that where you grew up?
No, I grew up all over the world, but my mother's from Brooklyn, so.
What do you mean you grew up?
I was born in the Philippines, India, Pakistan, Greece, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon. I moved to the States when I was 14.
Why?
My dad was a banker. But,
oh, really? Big-time banker?
Well, yeah, he worked for the government probably, too. Can't really go into that. You wake up free every morning? Do you?
Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Wow.
Yeah, you're welcome. So my dad will do what he does. You keep doing what you do. Do you mind that, or can we move on? Or?
Yeah, we can move on, sure.
Good, thanks. But I grew up overseas. Came to the States when I was 14. Had to go to boarding school because my family was still in Saudi Arabia. So I was out of the house by the time I was 13.
Yeah, I went to boarding school too, so don't act like you saw. I went to military school.
Oh, did you?
1 year.
Did a good job on you, didn't it?
What are you saying exactly?
I just meant...
In a way, I kind of took that as an insult.
Why? I don't understand why.
Did a good job. What does that mean?
Look,
okay,
man.
Listen, I'm just going to move on.
All
Forget
right.
it.
Move on. Now tell me... What do you think about? Do you have a primary question that runs through your head every single day? And is it a negative one or a positive one?
I think I try to keep a lot of it positive.
Yeah.
What can I do today to achieve my goals?
Mm-hmm. What are your goals? We've already talked about a lot
of it.
You're not done with Windy City Heat in some ways.
Well, in some ways, I think that it was so big and not many people saw it. And I just wanted to kind of put a wrapping around it.
Sure.
That's the crazy thing. I wish it was over because it's impossible to work on.
Did anybody make money on that movie?
No.
No.
Jimmy Kimmel lost money because all the money he got from it, he put back in, like, and he put it in film festivals. He put us, like, when we had the premiere, he did it at Paramount.
It's amazing how hard it is to make money in this business. It's just
amazing. It was a movie that people really, really liked.
Yeah.
And groundbreaking. It won awards.
And groundbreaking.
Yeah. So, anyway, but when you ask that question, I think that I just try every day to think, how can we get ahead? And we live in a day and age, I think, for entertainers, better than any time ever, because you can have a studio in your home. You can have a podcast studio. You can have a movie studio. You can make a movie on your own.
Technology is making it much easier to be self-expressive and get it out to a lot of people.
And with
it doesn't take away the fact, though, still that writing a good movie, a good TV show, is still as daunting, still as difficult, and requires all of you. You know,
right.
So that's the thing that I think.
Do you write movies? Do you write scripts?
You know, I'm working on. I spent a long time writing The Wrong Way, and I just did a podcast with a guy named John Truby, who wrote a book. If you were interested in writing at all, I think it's essential reading. It's called The Anatomy of Story. I actually think it's the only book to read on writing in many ways. I've read every book there is on writing.
Really?
I mean, not every book, but I certainly have read, I bet you, 15 books on writing.
So you think that in the world of writing books on writing, there's only been 15 made?
I think this guy, that's exactly right, sir. I've read all the books, including the ones in Chinese. No, but John Truby wrote a book called The Anatomy of Story. John Truby's a guy who makes his money as a script doctor, and he's a very successful one.
Ah.
And a very successful one.
Like, what movies has he become a script doctor on?
Well, he wouldn't say, but unofficially, I believe he might be the guy behind a lot of the Pixar movies, a lot of the, you know, he's a badass.
Really?
Yeah, he's a real badass. Okay. And when you read his book, you can see why he's such a badass. You can see this guy majored in philosophy, and I mean, there's no one. His command, not only of story, but why it works, to me, was a bit life-changing. And basically, the reason this is relevant to anybody listening is because a good story is an argument in many ways for how people should behave in the world. It is, and a protagonist and an antagonist are having a clash of values. That is really what it is. Both have a drive, a need. Usually it's the same drive, the same desire, but they go about it different ways. And usually a character has a desire, but by the end of the movie, you realize they realize they have a need, and the need is often different than the desire. You know, you and I live in a world where we have a lot of people that chase fame. You get older like the way we are, and you realize fame is one big illusion. I mean, in fact, absolutely, you and I don't need fame. What we need, fame is a nice byproduct of the fact that people appreciate and like what we're doing and the effort. And I suppose you buy a big house and stuff like that. But the need that we have, the need that you and I have, for example, is actually in many ways antithetical to the desire that we probably came here for. And that need is simply to perform and to surprise ourselves and to realize our potential and to accomplish our goals. And that's good stories are that way. So as I read his book, it really kind of highlighted and defined in bold strokes, I think, a lot of what drives me and a lot of what drives us as human beings. That's why the book is so relevant.
What's the name of it again?
The Anatomy of Story by John Truby.
I might have to look that up.
Yeah, and I did listen to the podcast I did with him because he's very articulate, and you know, it's an hour long. And
I'm not going to listen.
Listen to the podcast three or four times. Listen to you should listen to all my podcasts on the Brian Callen Show.
What kind of guys do you get on the Brian Callen Show?
I get comics like yourself, but then I get a lot of academics and a lot of authors. So
really? Are you a smart guy?
I'm the smartest. I'm the smartest guy you know. I won smartest man in America recently.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I never saw anything
it's a,
about
it's
that.
It's a TV show that they're
never saw
producing
a thing
now.
About that.
You would think you know how America's Got Talent?
Right.
Now they
I've
got,
seen
America's
that.
Got
heard of that.
America's Got Brains. So right. I won that for wow. being the smartest man in America.
I'll have to look that up. I think yeah. you're bullshitting, but uh-huh. I'll look it up.
You should look it up.
I will.
Because I want it. So.
But you are a smart guy, you'd consider.
I don't know.
How'd you do in school?
I don't know what that means. I actually don't think I'm smart. I think I'm a very slow learner, and I think that if I was smart, I wouldn't have made so many of the mistakes I've made. I think
but
that,
a smart person learns from his mistakes and realizes.
Well, I learn pretty slowly. So I don't know how smart I am, and I'm being honest. I think what I am is somebody who's always been acutely aware of how much I don't know. And so I've worked hard at trying. I've always been somewhat curious, and I had good upbringing. And so I think I'm somebody who always searches. And at 46 years old, I know I look 30. But at 46.
You look younger than that, I would have guessed. In your 20s.
Yeah, well, that's because I'm wearing rubber bands pulling my ears back. But, I think the idea that, well, I'm smart, the experience, action, reading the right things, listening to the right people, that's how you get not smart,
absolutely.
But wise.
It's interesting you say that. We were talking about the Comedy Store before. Comedy Store is a great place for this, a better comedy club than anywhere for someone starting out for this reason. Because the Comedy Store lets more kinds of insane comedy. Like, for instance, a guy like, and I'll go back to the 80s, a Sam Kinison, a Dice Clay, they couldn't really perform other places. The Comedy Store welcomed them.
Yeah.
So a young comic looking at all these different types of comedy can study them and kind of learn from comics doing it. Because every night is different in comedy.
Every night is different.
Every night, and what a comic should be watching when he's watching that. How does that comic on stage that you saw kill last night, how does he handle it when he gets a heckler? Mm. How does he handle it without being generic? How does he do all that? I think that the Comedy Store, that's why it's the greatest place for a young comic to go.
Hopefully, if you had a child, you don't have kids, right?
No.
If you had a child and that child wanted to be a comic, what advice would you give him? Would you steer your kid away from what you've done?
No.
You wouldn't?
I think that in this day and age, I think that you can do anything. And I, you know, they say, oh, what are the odds that you're going to do that? Well, the odds are...
Is that your phone, man?
Yeah. I'm podcast? Busy constantly. Huh. Constantly busy.
Yeah, I don't like
that. Oh, yeah, another one, yeah. But I think that...
Another what?
Just tons and tons of fans, you know, going to my Facebook and things like that. Mm. All right, may I finish what I was saying?
I'm listening.
I think that we live in a day and age where you can do anything. You can make a name for yourself and not have to have management. You don't have to have all these people
That's
behind
right.
you. And so if somebody wanted to do something and they were serious about it, I think anybody could do anything they wanted. It's just how hard you want to work for it.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think, so the odds, you know, like for instance, I came from Michigan to Los Angeles to try to do stand-up comedy. How many people are going to take that jump from moving from where they live to another town that they know nobody? That divides a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. And then as you do other things, it keeps throwing other people out of the mix. When I first came to the Comedy Store, within the first year and a half, I was booted out for 5 years.
You were booted out?
Yeah.
Why? Because you're an asshole?
Why would you say that?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I was guessing.
Why would you think that?
No, it's just my... I'm just guessing. I don't know. I don't know.
No, I wasn't... Well, maybe...
No, because I thought maybe that you were a fucking
asshole. Because I was kind of cocky. I was kind of cocky.
Oh, were you? That's surprising.
What do you mean?
Were you?
Yeah.
Cocky, huh?
And I kind of turned some people the wrong way.
Did you? Did you? That's incredible.
The tone of your voice...
You lie to children, Don.
What?
You're a bad guy. And
not
I wanted to expose guy. I wanted to expose you for the fucking rat that you are on this podcast
that
reaches at least
about?
5 million people.
Okay.
I want you off you got about 5 minutes and then I want you off this fucking podcast.
Okay.
Hold
just a second, Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Let me hold your microphone while you hurt him a little bit.
Well, hold on now. Hold on.
www.thebig3project.com.
Your girl is advocating that you hurt me, for Christ's sake.
You know what? You gave me 5 minutes.
Hold on.
I'll say this.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say, because here's the deal. All I care about is some of your fucking idiots that follow you.
Jesus.
Go to fundanything.com. Make a donation. Check out the Big Three Podcast. The Big Three Podcast. What is it, Mary Jane?
The Big Three Project. And if you want to see podcast, the www.thebig3podcast.
All right, yeah, or you can go to iTunes. Now, any last questions? Because I'm about ready to get the fuck
out
of here.
All right, hey, listen, man, I want to thank you for being on the Brian Callen Show.
Thank you for having me.
And I look, you look like you're about to punch me. Ow! Ow! What the fuck? Done. Done. At least just finish up. Don,
what do you want to say?
All right, hold on. I just want to say, if you guys have, go see Don Barris at the Comedy Store.
You want to be a little mean?
Any
again?
Night.
Go on, say it.
Any
say
night.
It. I swear to God, I'll punch you as hard as I've ever punched.
Any night. This is my pocket. It's my. Oh, Jesus. All right, Don, hold on. Give me a chance. Okay. You were an athlete. You were an athlete. All right, go ahead. Take a picture.
No. We're not taking pictures. Just finish your bullshit, and then we'll do this.
Okay. I want to apologize for insulting you. I was just. Okay. You said you were banned from the Comedy Store for 5 years. I just took a guess. That's all. And I got a little lippy, and I apologize. Please sit back down and finish the... Sit back down. I apologize.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was a little out of line.
Okay.
Jesus. All right. Do you want to take a couple of pictures of us?
No. No.
Oh, for later.
Yeah.
No worries.
Okay. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah. You were talking about how you'd been banned for 5 years. I guess you rubbed some people the wrong way, and they were...
No. When I came there, my attitude at the Comedy Store was... I'm going to do anything I can to get ahead. I'm not going to try to fuck anybody over, but if I see stage time, I'm going to take it. And what I did, people didn't want to MC. I took over the mic. I'd MC a whole show. It taught me how to do comedy. But there were some big celebrities that I kind of rubbed the wrong way because they thought that I was fucking their women.
Really?
Yeah, whole story. You want to get into... This is another show. Maybe another time.
Okay,
Another time, but that's the truth.
You seem like you're on your way. I'm
done with you.
All right, that was Don Barris. This has been the Brian Callen Show. You can't throw the mic at me, for Christ's sake. Look, good news, everybody. I'm sorry about this podcast, but I'll be in Utah, Tempe. Just go to briancallen.com. I'm not at the fucking Giggle House. I'm at the Helium in Philadelphia. God damn it. All right, I apologize for this. I gotta go.
You've been listening to The Brian Callen Show. Be sure to visit briancallen.com for information about this episode as well as past and future episodes. You can follow Brian on Twitter at Brian Callen and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Brian Callen Comedy. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.